Good morning, Symphony Church. Welcome to Morning Devo. Today we will be reading Psalm 29. Psalm 29. I want to invite you to close your eyes and try to picture the verses in your mind as I read through it. Ascribe to the Lord, all heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. This psalm is very different from other ones. King David cried out to the Lord for help during the hardships he's going through and asked God to protect and listen to him in most of the psalms. But David is purely worshiping God in this psalm and doesn't ask for anything in return from God. He puts all the attention on God. The opening of this psalm gives commands to ascribe or to give glory to Yahweh. To put it more simply, it is to praise Yahweh for His glory. But what exactly is His glory? Sometimes, when it comes to praising God, I don't have the awe of God, and so it's just hard to praise Him with all my heart. On an intellectual level, I know God is almighty and powerful and holy and so on. But my heart doesn't get it. And so I like how verses 3 to 9 describe the power of the voice of God and tell us the reasons to praise Him. To be honest, the first couple times as I read through this middle section, I didn't understand more of God's glory and majesty. I just thought that, okay, what a poetic and creative way to describe the voice of God, and it's like watching a movie as I read through it. But as I meditated on it more, I started to get that it's such a powerful praise. The Lord shows up 18 times, and the voice of the Lord 7 times in 11 verses. As I read it, I feel God is the center of all creatures and that He is the creator. The voice of the Lord depicted throughout the middle section is like a flood that goes around on the earth and has the power to do anything as it pleases. In verse 3, it says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, and the Lord over the waters. It's very common to see oceans, seas, waters in the Bible being used as an uncertain and fearful symbol in contrast to the stillness of God. And I realized that people back then must have felt more unknown towards going out on seas than modern people. We have developed technologies and science to predict the pattern of the waters, such as ebb and flow, so we would know the safest or the best timing to go out and come back. But for King David, he probably had great fear of the waters because he had little knowledge about them. And so when he declared the Lord is over the water or is reigning over the water, he made it even more powerful. Later on, it says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. You may wonder what's so special about the cedars. The cedars of Lebanon are the king of trees and the symbol of firmness, longevity, and power. And in verse 6, Lebanon and Syria are mountains. The picture is that God makes these mountains moving and shaking, just like how easy it is to make the young animals jump and skip. As we see how God can do whatever He pleases on the great nature like waters, mountains, fire, and forest. The middle section ends with, "And in His temple, O cry, glory." It is the perfect way for us as creatures to respond to our Creator. God has created heaven and earth for His sons and daughters to enjoy and to reign over. There are things we will find ourselves in awe of and slowly start to worship them. But let us not forget the one who gives it to us. He is our mighty God and is the ultimate infinite source of our provision. The psalm concluded that God sits as the king over the flood. The flood has the strength and power to destroy the whole earth. But our God, just like the earthly kings, controls the land they rule. He has absolute control over the destructive flood. And He, as our Creator, is worthy of our praise.